Marty Pagliacci. Number two, Derek Jeter. Number two.
Welcome to the Pinstripe Alley podcast, the Derek Jeter is a demigod edition. I challenge either of you to defy me on this.
No, he's magic. Nope. He'll strike us down if we say otherwise.
Yep. Andrew Mearns here with Matt Provenzano and Matt Ferencik. So how you guys doing after that game?
It got a bit dusty.
a little bit dusty.
Oh, or as Jonah Carey said, a little bit dusty Baker.
Yes.
I'm emotionally exhausted.
Yeah, we're recording this about an hour and a half now after the Jeter walk-off single in his last career game at Yankee Stadium, which... it was just a crazy, crazy game to watch. One of the most bizarre ones I've seen in quite some time, since the Yankees were last in the playoffs. I mean, there have been some weird games, like, you know, the Chris Young walk-off game and some of the other walk-off homer games. But this is just on a totally different level because of all the atmosphere and stuff going on that is building up to, like, the ninth inning and everything that happened.
Yeah, I think that we all talked about this sort of moment happening, but like half is a joke, but half like serious, being like, no, you can totally do that. And then it actually happened, and we were just like shocked, but not really shocked, because this is totally something that Derek Jeter does. And I guess that's the kind of thing where people like on Twitter are like, oh, he's so overrated, and people talk about and people making fun of like the clutchitude and whatever for years, but I don't know. There's just something happens whenever there's like a moment that needs to happen. He just kind of just makes it happen.
Yeah,
he changes the weather and just like does things and makes things happen.
Yeah, like let's not forget that this game was like in danger of being rained out. It seemed like all afternoon and all of like the previous day or two. It's like, oh, Thursday forecast isn't looking good. And even at one point, I think it said like 90%. 100% chance of rain or something like that around this time. Then all of a sudden at like 6:40 or so, just cleared up, we're fine. Nothing going on the rest of the night.
Well, yeah, 100% chance of rain. There was also a 96.5% chance the game would end in the ninth inning.
Yep.
So, yeah, that was honestly one of the better games I've watched in a while. Yeah, I'd say probably the best game I've watched since the 2012 ALDS with Game
3. Ibanez.
Since then.
Yeah.
And then since then, probably 2009 World Series Game 6. Yeah, it's up there. It's up there as one of my favorites. Just because it's just so, like, it just worked out so well. Everything just fell into place.
It got loud. Very loud.
The stadium, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I've never heard.
It's funny because Jeter's had chances to hit walk-off, to get walk-off hits this season, and he hasn't really done it. So when he came up, I was at the point where, like, just do something. Please don't, like, hit a weak grounder. And, like, he willed me into the sense that he was going to get out and then did his Deets thing again. I should have expected it.
Yeah. Well, it is weird because, like, he hasn't. That was his first walk-off hit at the new stadium and his first walk-off hit, period, in 7 years. And, well, it seems kind of odd that it's been that long, but, like, it seems like most of the hits that he's been getting were just, you know, late-game situations, not necessarily, like, walk-off. But it just happens tonight, and I guess if there was going to be a night, that was one of them.
Yeah, so I guess the most interesting thing about this game... Yep. Was the fact that after Pirelli got the hit, Girardi decided to have Gardner bunt.
Of course.
Which was, I thought, such an odd decision, but at the same time, like any other situation, I would have been like, you know what, screw that. But in this particular situation, I was like, he has to. Like, he would look like such an idiot if he didn't do that. Just, you know, publicly speaking. Like, now, not, because, I mean, it worked out. So I guess, you know, no one has to criticize it. But, yeah, I guess he was thinking, like, if this has to play out this way, I'm going to have to do this. Like, I don't have a choice. Like, imagine if Gardner, Grant Trudeau play, or it would have been kind of weird if Gardner hit, like, a two-run home run.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it would have been like, oh, cool, yeah. But Derek Jeter was waiting on deck.
Yeah, that would have been a little anticlimactic. It's like, yeah! Oh!
Yeah, because there were so many scenarios for him to win or even lose, and, like, I'd say 999 out of 1,000 of them did not have Jeter winning the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a 1 in 1,000 type of
yep.
game. Yeah. Everything in that game was pretty much improbable.
It was nice.
Yeah, it was nice. And it was kind of just like Derek Jeter fueling him. See, the thing is, the people criticize Derek Jeter for, like, the aura and the mystique, whatever. But at the same time, he doesn't say anything about it. He just kind of does the things that fuel this thing about him.
Mm-hmm.
Because now people are going to be showing that clip forever.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's just, yeah. The most unreal.
Yeah.
I get that it's probably tiring for fans of other teams to have to deal with, like, oh, Jeter, when he hasn't, like, been, like, an amazing player in a couple of years, but, like, it's not exactly Jeter's fault that he's become, like, the, has had all these endorsements, you know, like the media darling over the years. Like, that's not really his fault, so I don't understand why you hate him for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is just what he just goes out and does his job. That's all he's ever really done throughout his career. And yeah, he could probably have done his job better on defense, but whatever. He's still really productive, and he's one of the greatest players of our generation, really. And anyone that, like, tries to argue otherwise is just trying too hard to not see that. You don't accidentally put up almost 3,500 hits. I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess there's a whole debate as to whether his postseason stats, like, should be incorporated into his, you know, career, but I think it does, because that's also part of it. It's like, you know, I wrote an article for last week about how, you know, people want, like, sabermetricians pretty easily say he's still a great shortstop and one of the best ever, even with the defensive metrics. But, like, even if you don't even look at those, the moments, like those, like the flip, like the dive, like all, they're, like, mm-hmm. not things you can really define. And he doesn't really say anything. Like, this was the first time where he was interviewed where he actually sounded like a person. The rest of the interviews are like, oh, you know, just trying to win this for the team. And they're, like, just towing the party line. Like, he never really says anything.
Yeah,
so that's why, yeah, people really just hate the idea of him, not, like, him himself, because he doesn't really say anything.
at this point, he was just like, well, we're not winning for the team. I'm winning it for Jeets.
Buy myself a gift basket.
What if he's like, the first person I'd like to thank for this press conference is Derek Jeter, because he got that big hit. Then he just gives himself a high five. He's like, yeah. And then the reporter's like, what do we do now?
Yeah, I also saw, which is the most unbelievable thing, is that not only was it his first walk-off since 2007, it was also, he set a career high for single-game win probability added.
Well, of course.
That's 602. So 602, his second highest was 536, which was April 11th. 2006.
Can I present a live tweet reaction from Brandon McCarthy?
Yes, you may.
So Brett Anderson tweeted at him, and he said, hey, Reed McCarthy, 32, any waterworks from you tonight? And McCarthy said, I wet myself, so yes.
Resign that man.
Yes. Speaking of pitching, we can't talk about tonight without talking about Hiroki Kuroda, because he was absolutely tremendous, and no one will be able to talk about Kuroda, unfortunately, because of all the events that transpired with Jeter tonight, but man, he after those the first two at bats that were, you know, terrible, giving up home runs to Diaza and Markakis, he allowed one hit. The end.
Yep. He retired like 16 straight too.
Yeah, and struck out more batters than he struck out in any other game this season. 9.
Yep.
When 8 innings. I don't think he even threw 100 pitches.
He threw 95.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like 2013 Hiroki Kuroda.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad because this game is literally, he's going to be like a trivia question.
Yep.
Yep.
Even though he was unbelievable. And it's probably his last start as a Yankee. And he was like a top 15 pitcher for the past 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm. But that could have been the win that would push him over 500 in his silly won loss percentage. But nope. Classic Hirok start.
Yep. No run support or blown leads.
Yeah.
Had to happen.
I don't know what was up with Robertson tonight. But
I'm glad it happened.
So weird. I like that Mo was joking around too. He's like, you know, he's just setting up, you know, that's what he does. What a troll. Oh yeah, we should talk about like all the, you know, he finished the game, walk off, then he's then all the players are suddenly on the field from the Dynasty years. Like, that, there's not even like a short intro. You see them walking up the dugout steps. The camera just pans over, and then it's like, oh, hey, there's Bernie. There's Jorge Posada. There's Andy Pettit. There's Mo. There's Tor.
Yeah.
Gerald.
Yeah, I think Ben Lindbergh had a really funny tweet about that. And he said, Tori, Bernie, Rivera, Posada, Pettit, looking on and smiling like Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Yoda at the end of Return of the Jedi.
It's true. They're just like, yes. Actually,
it's overlooked.
It was funny because not all of them were even smiling at first. They're just kind of staring there like, solemn. Joe, come join with us to the other side. And Tino Martinez managed to get his way in there too for some reason. He's got Monument Park cred now, so.
Yeah, he's got a plaque.
But where's Paul O'Neill? What's he doing?
He was tweeting.
That's true. Maybe he was home. He's like, whatever. I've already had my fill of Jeter crap all year.
He was, like, smashing Gatorade container in his backyard.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how he celebrated. Man. And
yeah, I was some game.
Then, like, his parents were in the, you know, the normal box, and they slowly moved down to, like, the front row, and it was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, we knew they were going to do something like that, but it kind of just worked out.
Yeah.
They were there, and they got to sit in the front row, and he won the game.
I thought it was kind of interesting that after the game, Girardi said that the original plan was that, you know, they would, he'd finish the game, and then they would make Jeter take a lap around the field, and then when he came back to, like, home plate, then they're, like, Posada and Rivera and Pettit and all the others would be out there. But this works too.
Yeah, I mean, you can imagine the alternate reality where he just did that and it kind of just turned into the highlight reel, kind of like the end of Mo's career, where it just like says goodbye, gets the hug of eternal feels, and then goes off into the clubhouse. But this, like, it becomes one of the highlight reels for his career.
Yeah, like,
takes a much different tone than the other scenario, where he becomes sort of a passive participant in the end of his career. He took, like, and the other thing is that he takes, like, a terrible year, and, like, people are going to totally forget about that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they'll remember that, like, it wasn't as great toward the end, but at least they'll say at least he had this one moment that was just awesome. Like, with Posada's last year, that was pretty disappointing, but I still remember that he had the hit that won the game in the when they clinched the AL East, and then he kicked ass in the division series. So though he had like a terrible year, I still remember that more than anything else about Posada's year.
Yeah, that's what I mean. People are gonna remember it more. Man.
Yeah, Jeets.
Well, I think the Yankees and the YES Network are just salivating at the amount of reruns they can do with this game.
Oh, yeah.
Steiner Sports guy just ordered a yacht.
He's like, yes! You can, for just $500, you can own part of the stitching to the ball that Jeter hit for his last career hit at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, I have a really funny story about Brandon Steiner. He actually sent me, he had something on Facebook where he said, like, who was your favorite, like, Red Sox player? And I said mine was Ted Williams. And he literally sent me in the mail a signed photograph of David Ortiz.
What the?
And a glass, like, container of dirt from Fenway Park with a Red Sox embossed, like, thing on it.
I don't understand. Is he just trolling around?
It was like a giveaway, and he just gave it to me. He just sent it to me in the mail, and it was the weirdest thing. So I have, at home, I have, like, a signed photograph of David Ortiz.
Well, you can hold on to that until, you know, Ortiz is going to retire. Then cha-ching!
Yeah, his retirement tour, I'll cash in.
The David Ortiz. Well, no, he said he doesn't want a retirement tour. It's like, oh, thank you for a date. Thank you for relieving us of that responsibility. Because you are on the level of Chipper Jones and Mariano Rivera and Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, how many innings did you play in the field?
You know, the times where they were playing in the National League, they were playing against National League teams.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's not. This is a happy podcast. We're not going to talk about David Ortiz. Yeah. He's a jerk. And he probably smells like a foot. But that was. And I mean, it was about as good, even going beyond like this game, that was about as good a final homestand as one could have hoped for from Jeter, because he was just hitting the whole time. He had the home run against Ari Dick, finally homering Yankee Stadium.
Yep. Finally, at least, like, gave us a little, because the whole season was just like, we don't even remember what the actual Derek Jeter looked like. And, like, the last week is kind of like, all right, that's what he looks like. I can remember that. I can hold on to that.
And he got all those doubles, and it's just like, oh, my goodness. Who is this guy, and where was he all year? Throwback.
TBT.
Yeah.
Hey. Today was literally Throwback Thursday.
Now, I guess technically it is Friday now, but it's Thursday in the rest of the country, so good enough. What else could you even say about, like, this final homestand, this final series? It was a little odd that it ended up this way, but, you know, because the Yankees aren't going to the playoffs, but it seemed like it was headed that way for a while, so it's not like it was a great shock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess it happened, if it was going to happen, it happened at a good time, just because there wasn't going to be that uncertainty as to whether when his last game was going to be. Mm-hmm. Like, it could be very well planned out, and you could figure out exactly a date and a ceremony, you could do the whole thing, you don't have to be like, is this his last game at Yankee Stadium? And then, if it were to happen, you wouldn't even really realize it. Because if they went to the postseason, and it was just like, oh, we don't know if it's his last game at Yankee Stadium, let's just pretend it is. Then it's like they have to do this like 10 times.
Well, I still would have been amused if like Matt F's scenario played out. 17 innings. Yeah.
I thought the funniest thing was the fact that, or the weirdest thing was that, so the lowest ticket price was like $400 on the open market, which is like kind of like playoff ticket-esque or even more. And it's funny that it was almost was like a playoff game in its atmosphere and the whole format and how it ended. So I don't know if people said they got their money's worth, but because that was very, very, that's very expensive, but people kind of did pay for a playoff game.
Yeah. Well, it was like the couple guys that are saying like, or the one of the beat writers tweeted that he saw some guys that was like, paid $1,000 for the ticket, worth it. And it's like, you know, they might actually be right.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think that. I would never have done that, considered a bargain. Trade,
but like, I would have rather at least go to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't know. I think if you did go to the game, you would have enjoyed that more than, like, a random, like, 5-3 win in Game 3 of the ALDS.
Yeah. I mean, I would always, definitely. I would always like a playoff appearance, but... if it wasn't meant to be, then at least this is a more exciting way to end the year at Yankee Stadium than last year, which was just kind of like a very, very sad day with Mariano Rivera. And I think they were like swept in that series by the Rays too, because it just they had to play
the Astros.
Yeah, they just did not give a shit at that point. So
they let Jason Nitz manage against the Astros.
Yeah. That's why I ended up going 14 innings. Yeah, Nixie, he wants to be a manager. He's a baseball player.
He knows how to play the game.
Oh. But now, yeah, there's 3 games left in the season. Fenway Park. Jeter said he's not going to play shortstop anymore, which makes sense. I'm a little surprised that he's playing, but whatever. If he wants to, sure.
Yeah, I almost wish he wouldn't, but...
Yeah. I feel like he probably won't play tomorrow, though. So give me a breather.
He needs to sleep. Yeah, he needs to sleep. So I guess the next thing that we could talk about is obviously this marks the end of an era. You know, it's pretty significant in Yankee history. It's pretty significant in baseball history. Where do you think the Yankees go from here? Because this is an obvious shift, almost like a 1968 type of thing.
Yeah. I don't want to think about
it. Doesn't sound that enthusiastic.
No, huh? Yeah. Worry about that, the follow-up to the Jeter era, I guess, once the offseason has started. But we're in... I don't even know.
Where do you even go from, you know, how do you even follow? I mean, obviously you can't follow up this era with another one comparably, but it just seems like a crossroads, no really real direction. It's kind of just disillusionment, I guess would be the word.
Mm-hmm. But at least, like, this exciting last game was able to, like, you know, bring some of that back a little bit.
Yeah, and offers excellent closure. It really closes the book nicely. You know, you wouldn't say that it faded into abyss quietly.
How much more can we say about Jeter?
I don't know. I guess we could talk about how this moment ranks among other moments that we've had with him throughout his career, because I would venture to say it's a pretty significant moment.
Yeah. Well, like, it was a challenge putting together that the top 10 iconic Jeter moments thing, because, like, I was trying to find some weren't necessarily moments, some were just, like, things that were common throughout his career, like the classic opposite field swing, which, by the way, that walk-off hit, as Greg mentioned, was perfect because, you know, classic Jeter opposite field single. But, this would have to rank up there. I mean, flip the Mr. November home run, DJ, BK.
Ask you.
What other ones did you enjoy?
I think those are probably the top 3, and I don't know, this might be 4.
Maybe, yeah. Or the dive, I guess, could probably be in there, but I might even put this above the dive.
I'm going to say it goes above the dive. The dive is kind of, like, scary when it happened. The dive's scary. I remember when that happened and watched it on TV. I was really scared. That was dangerous.
Yeah, it, like, launched himself into the stands and is like, oh, well, I guess A-Rod's the shortstop now.
Yeah, I mean, I was just like, whoa, my God, what's happening? You know, I was like, what?
Third baseman Gary Sheffield is happening.
Yeah, that was not cool.
Well, that was like a weird game because, like, Yankees Red Sox middle of July. It's technically, like, you know, just a regular season game, but, you know, it was always high intensity. I would put this above the dive, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I'd say Mr. November would be obviously up there.
That'd be my number one.
Mr. November, yeah. I mean, it's just sort of a significant moment in baseball history. Especially, like, right after the 9/11 attacks and all of that. Like, it was a very emotional thing for the city, not just for baseball.
Yep.
So that has to be up there. And the flip play was just crazy. It doesn't make any sense. It's basically similar to this game. It was like, just doesn't make any sense.
So, I mean, those are,
yeah,
that's about like up there about as far as you can get for Jeter. So, and, you know, he's had 20 years of moments like these, and
yeah,
it just makes sense.
Yeah, for me, actually, DJ 3K wasn't like, I wasn't like as excited when it happened, because I had tickets for the game after that.
See, I was there, so I did want him to get out that day. But, you know, you got to see CC Sabathia throw a shutout, so there's that.
Yeah, obviously.
Back when CC was good.
Yes, that was actually great. Yeah, that game was 2 hours exactly. Which is crazy. But yeah, anyway. still great moment. Yeah, so this would definitely be top five moment in his career.
Mm-hmm. Also, when he was on Seinfeld.
And
yeah.
Yes, definitely. The reason he got hit to win the game today was because George Costanza taught him how to hit.
Exactly.
Moment, just for the balls alone, the Jeffrey Mayer home run.
Oh, yes, Jeffrey Mayer. Will long haunt Orioles fans forever.
I think we've covered a lot of it.
Yeah, I think we've talked about we're going to talk about Jeter some more, but I think in the context of like this season, we've talked about Jeter enough. We'll do a more thorough like 2014 season wrap up and maybe next week's podcast. But this one we wanted to make just about Jeter and the, you know, crazy last week, final game, and yeah, now we have a bunch of stuff in the tweet bag, and Matt F has a Jeter themed B-ref segment, so we'll do the B-ref segment first.
Sounds good.
Okay. What I looked up is how many times Jeter did to the amount of times Jeter did to something in a game. And I thought we'd do like a little over under.
Okay.
So we'll start with singles. Over under 500 times he hit two singles in a game. Under 500 times two singles in one game. I should say exactly two singles.
Oh, exactly two singles. Go with
yeah. I should have mentioned that.
What did you say?
I said under.
You said under. Nope. I'm gonna say over.
It is 517 times.
Ah.
He hit exactly two singles. The first was the first was May 30th, 1995 against the Mariners. Second was September
19th.
Next up, two doubles over or under 30 times.
30 times?
30.
I'm going to say over.
This is like a maximum of two doubles or two doubles at least?
Or exactly two doubles.
We'll go with over.
It's 24.
Huh.
Oh, wow.
First time was again against the Mariners in August 18th, 1996. And depressingly, the last time was August 19th, 2012 against the Red Sox.
Well, it's not like Jeter to get two doubles in a game anymore these days. Just wait till the last season. He'll bang a couple off the monster.
Okay.
I hope so. Okay. That's the one. It's what? How many times? Yep. How many times exactly two triples? We'll go 1.5.
I'll take the over.
I'll take the under.
It's exactly one time. He did it against the Tigers in September 1996.
Back when he was a rookie, and then he never accomplished it again. What a slacker.
Yeah. Overrated.
He's just a regular Eric Hinsky out there. Or Angel Barroa. Both former teammates.
The immortal Ricky Bones pitched for that game. Pitched in that game for the Yankees.
Well, that definitely sounds like a made-up name. It's like a who pitched
Ricky
today. Ricky Bones.
Ricky Bones.
Sounds like a nickname. A prison guy.
It's like, Ricky Bones coming up. He needs to eat some. He needs to eat more than like salads every day.
Okay, so we'll finish up with how many times did he hit exactly 2 home runs in 1 game? We'll set the over under at 8.
I'll go over.
I'll go under.
So he hit exactly 2 home runs 10 times.
Yes.
The first was August 20th, 1997, and the last was May 8th, 2011, against the Rangers.
Hmm.
That first one against the Angels in 97, their manager was Terry Collins.
Oh, yes.
Whew.
One of only a few managers to, like, be in baseball before Jeter made his debut. I believe that was a yes trivia question at one point.
Probably. Okay. What is the next one?
Okay, so hit by exactly 2 pitches in 1 game. Over or under, we'll go 1.5 again.
Two.
Well, I'll go under.
3 times.
Hmm.
3 times.
First one, September 29th, 2000. And the last one was September
24th, 2005. Wow. Smash. Oh, well. Alright. Was that the last one, or did you look up another one as well?
That's all I have. And
did you ever have exactly 2 catcher's interference?
West. Oh, I don't know.
Well, that'll conclude the B-Ref segment. Move on to the tweet bag now. All right. Let's see. One of them's asking about, like, probability of moving / benching A-Rod and Tex, and neither is really happening. So, anyway, skipping that one. By the way, this guy whose, like, name is hashtag trade Teixeira. We all want things.
Yeah, all those teams really chomping at the bit to get Teixeira.
Yeah. But hey, when you can get a guy who, like, you know, is only a league average hitter for a first baseman, then, you know, you jump on it.
Get, like, GMs drunk at the winter meetings.
What was that?
I mean, if we tried getting, like, people drunk at the winter meetings, but...
Yeah, it's like, oh, listen, Jack Z, who are you going to play at first base? Jesus Montero? Justin Smoke? No. You need Texie.
Let's talk about Tex, baby.
Exactly. That's how you can start it off, and then, you know, just knock back a couple of Mai Tais. I'm sure Brian Cashman has the alcohol tolerance of a champion. And Jack Z is probably one of those guys that, like, his face gets red, like, really quickly when he starts drinking. So he's like, that sounds great. Who do you want? I don't know. How about this Paxton guy or Taewon Walker? They're not really good. Yeah, you're right.
How about you eat all of Robinson Cano's salary and then trade him?
Just pitching.
Or how about Kyle Seager?
Pitching like Cashman and Jet Z, like in the scene from The Princess Bride.
Oh, yeah. To the death. Okay. And anyway, next tweet bag question from Jared Spiga. Who's going to win the AFL Grand Final? This might be a question better handled by Matt F.
Who's going to win it is probably the stupid Hawthorne Hawks, but...
Who would you prefer to win it?
Our PSA comrade, Greg Kirkland's Sydney Swans.
Alas. We'll see. Team checked in next time on the, I don't know, Adelaide Alley podcast. All right. Now to the tweet bag on the site. First question from Sean McNeil. Has it hit you yet that this is the last game Derek Jeter will play at this stadium? And 2, how would you describe the emotions you'll feel during his last at bat? Well, I mean, it happened already.
Well, it's hit me now. But
yeah. I'm still waiting for it to hit me. It was pretty ridiculous. I mean,
pretty
I think we tried to describe our feelings for like the first half of the podcast. Yeah. I think it just kind of turned into like this mumbled mess of wow.
Yeah, the only way I could describe it is like I haven't been that nervous about a game or an at bat in a very, very long time. I usually just, like, get home, turn on the game, and it just kind of sits in the background. And, like, if something cool happens, I'm like, all right, cool. But I very rarely get, like, heavily invested in what happens, unless it's, like, a serious postseason game. And, yeah, that's the first time I had that, like, postseason feeling where I was, like, nervous. about the outcome. Even before I was very, very nervous.
Weirdly, except for Jeter's at bat, it's like the ninth inning, I didn't feel that way at all. Like, I was pretty calm for most of it, and like, I was like, eh,
well,
whatever.
Yeah, no, I was pretty calm.
I thought something big might happen when they had the bases loaded for him in the seventh, and it was just like, oh, this is going to be big, and then it's like, fielder's choice. It's like, lead? Yay? But it's like a weird feeling of like, you know, your hands are shaking, you're just like, oh, what's going on? It's going to happen. But again, it was like all centered around Jeter's at bats. The other ones are just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm so nervous for Jose Perella.
Steven Drew grounded out.
News at 11. Yeah, one day we'll like look back and see all these people that Jeter's hugging and like the after the game be like, who is that? What? Oh. Like on the on our Facebook and Twitter now, we have one of the photos from the game of like everyone mobbing Jeter. And I'm pretty sure one of the main figures in it is Zills Wheeler. So,
yeah, and that will be a lol in a couple of years.
Or the fact that, just the whole course of that inning, you know, Jose Perella leads off with a single, Anton Richardson pinch runs, and he scores the game-winning run. 2014 yeah. Yankees. Hashtag season to watch.
Hashtag only game to watch.
Yep. All right. Next from El Cruiser 55, how much did you cry during this game?
I certainly welled up afterward.
It was dusty, but I was like,
honestly, before everything happened, like heading into tonight, I thought it would be like easier than last year because I somewhat knew what I was expecting, but then that all happened and it was about the same as last year. It was dusty.
Yep. And it was also, for me, it was, like, a little dusty, but it was also, like, I'm trying to, like, do a bunch of stuff at once, so it's not like I couldn't, like, let my brain relax and, like, take in the moments, so it was just like, But it was, I am positive that on repeated viewings, there will be even more dust floating around. I don't know. And next question from Greg. Why do you schedule these things on the saddest days? And the reason is because I am evil. Pure evil. It's the evil empire, what do you expect? Alright, next from Steel Nets. Is this real life? I'm not positive.
Oh.
Yep.
I mean, how does
that
happen?
It'll take a little time.
How does that happen?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, like, on one hand, like, it's one of those moments where, like, oh, you stripped it, but when really you could. And at the same time, you wouldn't stripped it to be, like, a meaningless game in September, but
it clinched a winning record! Yay!
I mean, yeah, it was a meaningless game, but, like,
it was still fun.
Yeah, like, it really wasn't about it being meaningful. Like, a lot of great things can happen in a meaningless game.
Yep.
Right. But, like, all I was saying, like, if you're gonna strip this for a movie, it'd be, like, Game 7 of the World Series. But it doesn't make any less, like, special for me.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, I agree. I mean, that would be, like, something like, oh, you know, his Mr. November home run was great, but, like, they lost the series, so, you know, waste of time.
Nah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, Michael Brown, if you knew this was coming, how much would you have been willing to pay for a ticket?
I don't know. I'm a college student, man.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not, but my dad hinges on, like, having money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's also like, if you knew it was coming, then it wouldn't have been as thrilling either, so.
True.
But, yeah. I don't see, that's the whole thing about sports, like, you buy a ticket, you never know what you're gonna see, so.
Like, if money was no object, I would realistically pay, I don't know, like $500 to see that. If money was no object at all, I'm like, I had an infinite amount of funds. But because I don't, then I would not pay that amount of money.
Yeah. I would say,
yeah.
$222.22. Just to be an ass.
And you'd buy two tickets.
Okay. Next one. From El Cruiser, where does tonight rank in terms of your favorite games of all time? It's in my top five for sure. Oh, man, that is... Gotta think for a moment.
This is hot take session here.
For me, I'll go the Boone Home Run 1.
Yeah.
Probably some combination of the two 2001 games.
Yeah. And the 1996 World Series, Game 4 and Game 6. And Game 5, for all that matter. It's hard for me to put it above any playoff games, just because playoff games are playoff games. So maybe...
Yeah.
Maybe we should look at it instead, like, where would we rank it among, like, regular season games?
True. Certainly one of the better ones.
Top three.
Yeah, easily top three. I think the dive game would be up there.
The dive game, also Giambi's home run in the rain.
Oh, yeah, that was also a good one. I would rank this above that, but that was also a really great game. Ton of dingers,
yeah,
too.
That was, yes, that was amazing, that game. But yeah, regular season games, it's very hard to have like an unbelievable regular season game. Like
the one in 2012 when they came back from down 9 on Fenway's 100th anniversary to beat the Red Sox and Bobby Valentine.
Oh yeah.
And then there was also the regular season game where they beat Oakland, they came all the way back and Albanias like tied the game.
Oh yeah, that was a great one too. And there's also the one like back in 2006 where I think they also came down from like down 9. They beat the
Rangers.
That was
one of my favorite games. That was when the regular season.
That was when Teixeira like pummeled into Posada at home plate, and Posada held on, got him out. Then Posada hit the walk off home run. It was also a great game.
Wasn't there one game in 2009 where they came back like a couple times, were losing, then like Damon hit a walk off or something?
I think.
Yeah, you're thinking of against the Twins. They had four straight games of walk-off hits.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Or the one game that went 15 innings scoreless before A-Rod hit the walk-off home run.
Mm. Yeah, they're definitely, if you think about it, a lot of good regular season games. But this one was certainly out there.
Yeah, I think...
I'll probably remember this one the most out of all of them.
I think I would agree with Drewster that I would put this in a top five. I think yes. I would... Well, in terms of regular season games, I don't think I would put it in the top five of like all games, just because I love playoff games so much. But regular season, sure.
It'll definitely stick out, just because like I started watching 2002, so a lot of those 96 games were awesome, but like they're history for me. Mm-hmm. It's not like things that I watch. Like in terms of game, I remember most like 2003, Game 7, ALCS, 2009, Game 6, World Series... 2012 ALDS Game 3. Those were my favorite games. So this one ranks pretty high for me in terms of games I've watched. Mm-hmm. If I watched the Dynasty years, I probably wouldn't feel that way, but I didn't. I was a baby, so.
Sucks to suck.
Oh. You know what game we forgot? We talked about playoff games?
Hmm?
Louis Soho.
Oh, yes. Louis Soho. Who could forget?
Louis Soho.
God bless that man.
Fantastic.
Thousand hopper up the middle, you know. Sucks to beat the Mets. But anyway. Next question. Since you all have been watching before Jeter was a fixture here in New York, how hard do you think it'll be to move on from him? I think that was phrased kind of... We've been watching only with Jeter in New York, basically. So... And also, the second part of the question is, how much of Jeter's last games in Boston will be made more about the Red Sox than about Jeter? I bet the ceremony the Red Sox have will probably have something like, let's have David Ortiz, he'll join you in the Hall of Fame! And then they'll start playing that Hall of Fame song by whatever that Will.i.am and Ryan, whoever that is.
Oh, yeah. It'll be oddly self-serving in some way.
Yes. But to the other point, I'm ready to move on from Jeter in a sense of, like, I recognize that he's not as good a player anymore. And I think we all do, generally, at Pinstripe Alley. It'll just be more about, like, the unrecognizability of the team, I think, to the public. Because, yeah, like, after Jeter's gone, you got, like, A-Rod, yeah, most divisive figure. Then you got Gardner, Tanaka.
That's pretty much it. I don't think anyone's going to know really any Yankees, to be honest. Except for A-Rod.
Yeah. Yeah, because the other ones haven't really distinguished themselves as much yet. Like, maybe if Tanaka didn't get hurt and he was still doing what he was doing the first half of the course of the full season. But, unfortunately.
I mean, 2013 personally helped me, like, will help me, like, and not be as weird for me.
Yeah.
I wasn't there for the whole season, but...
Yeah.
We also had Mo for the whole season that year, and Andy Pettit, so...
Yeah, that's true.
But there was also, like, an unrecognizable team around the field. I went to a Yankee game around my birthday in 2013, and my brother, like, isn't a big Yankee fan, but, like, he's a Yankee fan, like, he knows most of the players that play usually, and like, when we went to the game, he, like, looked at the lineup, he's like, who are these people? I have no idea who they are, and, like, that's kind of how it feels. It's like, who are you?
What is a Brent Lillibridge?
Yeah, Brent Lillibridge, Luis Cruz.
Brennan Bosch.
Travis Ishikawa, Lyle Overbay, Vernon Wells.
Chris Buchek.
Yeah, Chris Buchek.
The list goes on and on.
Yeah, so we'll move on. It won't be like legendary, it'll be like comical.
Yep. Alright. Next one from Cookie DeBookie. Using my best Colbert impression, Derek Jeter, great Yankee or the greatest Yankee? He is a great Yankee.
Yeah, he's like a top five Yankee, yeah, in my opinion.
Yeah, but we're not gonna
get great Yankee.
We're not gonna get into any Keith Olbermann rants here because he's not worth.
Yeah, he's a bottom 20 Yankee.
Yeah, he's not worth our time right now.
Everyone, let's talk about something else.
Yep. Next one from great username something or other 123, which I love because it sounds like he's just like, oh, I need a username. Something or other 123. All right, we're good.
he picked that as username. Username was taken.
Yeah, exactly. All right, five teams passed on Jeter. Five. What does the Yankees franchise without Jeter for the last 20 years look like? I imagine they get A-Rod to stay at short and then find somebody else to play third. Well, if Jeter was never there, then... Yeah, A-Rod would have been playing short if they traded for him, but who knows if even...
But who'd even been there before A-Rod?
Whoa.
Playing short.
Yeah.
I mean, they still would have been a great team. Like, they still would have had great teams. I don't know if they would have won the World Series, but they still would have been a very, very, very great team for a while.
Yeah.
Even without Derek Jeter.
He was central to those teams. Very valuable. Possibly the most valuable person they had on all those teams, but... I don't know.
Yeah, I think they would have been at least playoff
teams. Like, the 98 team still would have won, like, over 100 games.
Maybe it would have been Luis Soho starter. You know, they would have had to, like, find some sort of internal solution, or maybe get more Tony Fernandez. Maybe you get random free agents filling shortstop like so many other teams have had over the years. Maybe they trade for someone, and who knows? It's weird.
Randy Velarde.
The young Randy Velarde. All right. Well, that'll do it for the tweet bag. So now we'll move on to the Yankee and Mitre of the Week. We kind of collectively decided that Yankee of the Week is that Jeter fellow.
Yep.
Yes.
He was okay at hitting the baseballs.
Yes, generally speaking.
More than adequate.
Well, you know, you have to take his WAR and do it by a per year basis.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. If you do that, he's really not that good.
Exactly.
Even if, like, he wasn't retiring and, like, something like this night never happened, someone would have picked him anyway because he just had a good week.
Oh, yeah. He was great this week. I kind of want to pull up his numbers, see exactly what it was. But, I mean, he was on, like, a 6-game hit streak at one point, so.
Someone had it on Twitter, actually. He was 12 for 34 with 4 doubles, a home run, 8 RBIs, with a 559 slugging percentage on his last homestand.
Very throwback Jeter-like.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I feel like we should probably name some Mitres of the week, so we'll do some. Matt F., who is your Mitre of the week?
I mean, I haven't looked up any stats, but I'm just going to go with Steven Drew because, yeah.
Yeah, dude sucks.
Yeah, like, he was just so bad the whole half of the season.
Just shockingly so.
Yeah, I've never seen someone that bad. I couldn't even imagine.
Oh, well. He did have a home run, apparently, but I have, like, no memory of it for some reason.
Yeah, it was, like, a tag on a home run.
I vaguely do, but...
Yeah. Well, either way, Matt P., who was your Mitre of the week?
Mine is hilarious. It's Chris Young, because he spectacularly fell back down to earth.
So you're saying that he wasn't, like, he didn't totally fix himself?
No, he was horrible this week.
Do you have, like, stats of him?
He batted fourth in one game
this week.
Oh, I mean, he's been batting, like, in the middle of the lineup just because they don't really have anyone else.
So, in the past 7 games, in 26 plate appearances, he batted 130, 231, 217 with 1 RBI. Yeah, 27 WRC plus.
That's a minus. All right. My Mitre of the week. Hate to do it, but I'm going to have to go with Brett Gardner on this one because he's not doing well. 172, 226, 345. Did have that homer, but other than that, pretty poor week for Gardner.
I mean, this whole second half was him, like, regressing. Like, he had that period of time where he was, like, hitting out of his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, now, if you look at his numbers, like, they're all pretty much in line with his, like, career norms.
Well, except for the higher home run total.
Well, yeah, but, like, his walk rate's the same, his strikeout rate's the same, like, his WRC plus is, like, the same as last year. His WAR is exactly the same.
Yep. I feel like Jeter is all of our Yankees of the Week, but I think I'd give an honorary Yankee of the Week to Jose Perella. He had a good debut in the first few games.
Yeah, definitely.
And for all we know, this might be, like, the only shot he ever gets.
That triple was cool.
Yeah, first Yankee to lead off his career with a triple since Steve Balboni, which is just hilarious on so many levels because he's just a... Steve Balboni was just a slow-ass first baseman. But he got that, and then he got the hit that set up the Jeter game-winning single tonight. So good for you, Jose Perella. Oh, Chase Headley, too. He had a good week. Brian McCann also hit some dingers. So good for them.
It's really funny, the, like, F4 that he accumulated in a half season, Chase Headley.
Yeah.
It was like 2.5. Obviously heavily dependent on the defensive metrics, but still, like, heavily amusing because that makes him the third best player by that metric on the team.
Oh, man.
2014.
Bring him back.
But I would also like to note that Brian McCann finishes off the season not miserably.
Yeah, that's nice. Hopefully he can keep that up going to next year, because it would be nice to have a real kidding catcher again.
Yes, he actually had a good second half.
Oh, other Yankees Other, I mean, again, Jeter's our Yankee of the Week, but, like, Pineda was just awesome in his start against the Orioles. Tanaka had a great comeback start. Kuroda, obviously, yes. Killed it tonight and the other day. So, okay. Do you guys have anything else to add?
No, I'm wiped.
Yep.
No.
Yep, I know that feel. Well, it's getting pretty late on the East Coast in this weird post-Jeter Yankee Stadium era. So, we will be watching these last few games in Fenway as Jeter's career winds down officially. And we'll come back next week for a season-ending podcast. Maybe some hot takes on playoff previews that won't come true. And, well, guess we'll just see how the playoffs find out. And we'll explore the new post-Jeter era, which is weird to think about, but here we are. So, you can follow us on Twitter, at Pinstripe Alley. Follow our GIFs account, at PSA_GIFs. You can follow me on Twitter, at MernsPSA. You can follow Matt F. on Twitter, at MattF15. You can follow Matt Provenzano on Twitter, at MattProv94. That's right, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And, yeah, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/pinstripealley. Rate and review us on iTunes. Always appreciate your feedback. And we'd be great to hear about how we've been doing this year, so let us know. I think that's all, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Any last Jeter thoughts?
Yeah, Jeets.
Yeah, Jeets. And I miss you.
You were a cool fella.
You just did things. We're two packed.
We liked you.
Yes. You were just swell. Thanks. Have a good night, everyone.